Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today to the Dedicated, Disciplined, and Determined workshop, where we talk about how Farm Bureau can better support our veterans. We're joined today with members and leader of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, who is a really dear partner to American Farm Bureau, and we have been working together for the last few years, and we hope to do more work in the future. It's my pleasure to introduce Michael O'Gorman, who is the Executive Director of Farmer Veteran Coalition. The Farmer Veteran Coalition works with veterans, their families, and employers to support veterans returning to or beginning careers in food and farming. Michael began farming in 1970 and ran the first organic farm in Salinas, California. He developed 1,600 acres of intensive organic vegetable and herb production in the northern half of Baja, California, including 30 acres of indoor tomatoes. Please join me in welcoming Michael O'Gorman. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. I got kind of a booming voice. I hope you can all hear me. I'm not too loud. Most of my farming career was in production agriculture. The last 20 years was in running organic farms. So when I had a staff meeting, it was usually 500 to 1,000 people. It was outdoors, no microphones, and in Spanish. So if I get too loud, you could tell me. I'll turn the microphone off. As Lisa said, I'm the founder and director of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and we're really honored to be here. Our mission, the mission of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, is mobilizing veterans to feed America. So it's helping those returning from their careers in the military, their service to the country, and helping them come home to places and viable careers and places to often to heal on America's farms. So we can think of no greater partner in this effort than the organization that represents the vast majority of farmers in this country, and that's the Farm Bureau. And for that, I'd like to really thank President Stallman, whose kind words yesterday for the second year in a row, and his opening remarks and mentioning their Farm Bureau's strong support of our efforts and the work we do. I'd also like to thank many people on the Farm Bureau's national staff, but I don't see her right now, but particularly Robin Kinney, who's really taken us under her wings, which are, if anybody who had the pleasure of working with Robin are very effective in making things happen. I'd like to thank Charlie Cruz. Charlie is past president of the Farm Bureau of Missouri for 18 years. He's also a retired general in the U.S. Army, and Missouri farmer, and he's vice president of our national board. So we're really honored to have Farm Bureau represented in the leadership of our organization. And finally, I'd like to mention a woman that's not here today, and that's Sabrina Madison, who had Lisa's job prior as the director of development, rural development, and for the Farm Bureau. And Sabrina passed away too early at the end of 2013, but she really left a strong legacy of encouraging support throughout the Farm Bureau for our efforts. And we're really, really, many of the young men and women we work with and myself were touched and honored by getting to work with her and her profound understanding of what we're trying to do. We do have Sabrina's ex-husband here, Gary Madison, who from Farm Credit, who's our chairman of our national board. So we're thrilled that she continues on. The mission of the Farmer Veteran Coalition is to connect veterans with careers in agriculture. When I was first looking at retiring from a career of 40 years in production agriculture and produce, I know many of the people in the Farm Bureau work on the animal side, on the grain side, on the field crop side of production, and us out here on the West Coast that worked in vegetables. It's a different and unique experience. It usually requires moving from farm to farm managing different properties so that you have a continual supply of vegetables. So in my career, I got to farm 13 counties in California, 2 in Arizona, and 5 states in Mexico. And it's very fast-moving. Your product is perishable. It's valuable. And it never stops coming. And so it was a very exciting career. It was exciting for me to be at the beginning end of organic production and to see that industry grow, and also to see how one farmer could make a difference and an effect in how we farm. And it really left me, even when I first met staff from the Farm Bureau, and I first met Bob Stallman, and I first got to meet Secretary Vilsack, everybody's question says, oh, so you were in organic farming? Yes. Well, is your project just about organic farming? And I go, no, absolutely not. Our veterans fought for our freedom, and we support their freedom to choose however they want to farm, and we need them in every part of our agricultural community, and that's what we're about. And in a way, with my background in organics, it kind of leaves me a really unique place to say that, because I think that's a real important part of our message that's not getting out, that at first and foremost, I might have been an organic farmer and actually one of the more prolific organic farmers in the country, but first and foremost, I was a farmer. And we have that connection with each other no matter how we farm, what scale, where it is, what we grow. And so we also leaves me with the tremendous belief that agriculture, like the military, is probably our two greatest meritocracies in the country, where anybody can enter. There are ways to enter. It's not impossible to enter. And you're rewarded for your hard work, for your efforts, for your perseverance, for your determination. So I have two young men with me that are going to speak about their military careers and how they've transferred that into launching their careers in food and farming. To my right is Jamie Critelli, who's a graduate of Cornell, went through Cornell with the help of participation in ROTC, and served in the U.S. Army as a captain in combat in Iraq, and has come back and now manages his floral greenhouse operation and floriculture operation and venturing into vegetable operation, which I'm always happy to see, in upstate New York. And to his right is Jason Foscolo. Jason, like many of the young men and women that served in our all-voluntary military, went in with the extremely high credentials and dropped everything to serve his country post 9/11. Went in with a law degree and served as a judge advocate, and came out and added to his education by getting the LLM degree from the University of Arkansas in food law. So Jason runs Foscolo and Handle Food Law. He's also been our chief counsel for the last 5 or 6 years and a real right-hand arm to my efforts and our efforts in building this nationally. So I'm going to give them a chance to talk. We also afterwards want to have plenty of time for questions, because the big question is, how can people be involved? When I started the project, I thought, boy, if we don't do something and move something fast, we actually did a study and found that there were 40,000 groups in the U.S. with the name veteran in them. There was not one that connected veterans with agriculture. And there was, interestingly, not one that had the purpose of connecting veterans and helping veterans return to rural communities, when in fact that's where almost half of them come from. So there's a tremendous void there. And what we're hoping to do is to build an organization that's not only going to fill that void, but it's going to continue to fill that void for decades, if not generations to come. And so it's with our strong partnership with the Farm Bureau, it's our partnership with Farm Credit, partnership with the Farmers Union, partnership with the USDA, and partnership with all the tremendous educational institutions and corporations that make up agriculture in the United States, that we're going to be able to help these young men and women and help them enter into our agricultural community. I want to mention one last thing, And one of the most exciting developments that we've had with our project and since we began is a label. We now have a label called Homegrown by Heroes that any veteran of any military era who is a farmer, a rancher, or a fisherman that produces food can come to us and get certified to use this label. And we encourage veterans, even if you don't know how it can help you, to come to us and get yourself and your farm certified. It's a very easy process. It has three simple requirements. One is that the person that owns at least 50% of the farm or ranch business is a current or past honorably or generally discharged member of the U.S. Armed Forces. The second is that you are in compliance with the state and national food safety rules, which for most commodity growers or livestock producers who sell calves or bring their meat to a USDA-certified processing plant are waived through that right away. And others, we will help them get through that. And my third requirement. Those are pretty much the requirements. There's a little bit of paperwork. I'll let Jason go through it. But we're really excited about to see this. We encourage all farmers and members of the Farm Bureau that are veterans to get involved in this. Can I see a raise of hand of how many veterans we have here? This actually helps us out. That's tremendous. Well, one of the things... My last comment is one of the greatest accomplishments of our efforts is that in the 2014 Farm Bill, February 7th of last year, that was signed by the President and passed with tremendous help from the Farm Bureau and participation from the Farm Bureau, for the first time in history, has specific support for helping military veterans enter into careers in agriculture. We have a young man on our staff, Brian Shobe, who could present himself here, that his job is to help veterans learn about the different benefits that are in the Farm Bill that are helping them. There's a new microloan program that was actually built upon a proposal that that I first presented at an event that Gary put together in Des Moines about 4 years ago. There's conservation programs like the EQIP program that now give preference to veterans. Go to the head of the line in several other conservation programs. There's funding for groups that help veterans. So we encourage you to learn more about that through us and see how we can help and how we can help anybody here or anybody you know, any young members of your family that... are starting out and are interested in that. So with that, I'm going to pass this on to Jamie and let some of the veterans get you a chance to meet them and get an example of the wonderful young men and women I get to work with every day now.
Mic's a little shorter. Hold on. Good. Okay, let me hide that a second. So good morning. My name is Jamie Critelli. You saw on the screen list of credentials and all that's well and good, but the thing I'm most proud of is having brought home all my men and women from Iraq with me. Yes, I've now gotten into farming. I have the challenge here today to tell you for the next 10 minutes my entire life history, plus how I got into farming and what my outlook is for agriculture. So before I forget, I brought a shoebox full of business cards, so I'd like to not take them home with me. If you'd like one, they're up here. So let's talk a little bit. At a young age, I was always interested in agriculture. My dad and my father owned a greenhouse business, and it was quite successful for a number of years. And I had always assumed that when I finished college, that would be the path that I would take. The reality was, my father and my uncle had a huge fallout. and parted ways, so that door closed for me. I had started going to Cornell. I took a ROTC scholarship to pay for it. Cornell was still expensive back in the mid-90s. And it was another dream that I had, to always be in the military. My father served in the military in Germany during the Berlin airlift, and I always thought that was, you know, that was pretty honorable. My father was quite older. He's deceased now. Okay. I'm going to come back to this. I want to tell you a little bit about my military career. I think I have a story that'll resonate with you. I do have, however, have to touch on a little bit about my greenhouse business. My wife and I purchased a greenhouse out of bankruptcy at the end of 2010. You know, it was the height of the recession, and they had a really hard time keeping a go of it. However, we took on a previous owner from two generations ago, and he was quite confident that he could teach me how to grow almost anything. And with a combination of his growing skill and our acceptance of some new agriculture and working with marketing on the customers, we've been able to really bring this business back. The first year we were in business in 2011, we really didn't do too well. We did about $80,000 in sales. And since then, we've done almost $1 million in sales. So I'm quite happy with the turnaround. Okay. Now I have to ask another question. Michael asked all of you who was a veteran in the room. You know, just looking around the room, I don't see so many young and beginning farmers. But is there anybody in the room that's trying to get into agriculture? No, not a one. Okay. Well, I had this slide here in case there were. I wanted people to understand, you know, hey, if you're going to get into the ag business, it's not the easiest business, and make sure you know why you want to get into it. Okay. I have a few keys to success that I've used. I'm going to skip through most of this here. Just a few things for anybody that's out there. The reason we've been successful, I want to lay out just a few different tools that we use. And this was stuff that came out of the military. So I would argue that a lot of the veterans that come out of the military have been used to doing some sort of planning. And they're probably one of the groups of people that are most equipped to get into agriculture. So this here is my production plan for poinsettias, and I know you can't read it. But across the top, we have month by month and then week by week. And what I do with this is we take a little red string. It's a piece of red yarn. We hang it up with a little washer at the bottom. And every day, that string moves over one position. And what this does is it makes it real world for my employees. Every day, they know what they have to do, day by day. And they can see visually within a second or two, whether they're ahead of schedule or behind of schedule, so it doesn't become a big, big surprise at the end. And I've had to talk to a number of different veterans who want to get into agriculture, and a lot of them have absolutely no plan whatsoever for what they're going to grow or how they're going to sell it. I would argue probably your plan for selling what you grow is more important than how you produce it, but just it was a tool that we used. This you're not interested in. Marketing plan, whoopee, and a budget. My wife is the accountant, and we've had to have a budget. It has not been easy. You know, we've been in business 4 years, and I would argue that for the 4 years, we've always had to worry about 2-3 months from now, where is the money going to come in to pay the bills when they're due? I've talked to farmers that are young, that are old. A lot of people are in that same sort of boat. But if you at least have a budget and you manage to a budget, you might get there. Okay. Just some facts and figures about our business. I mentioned some of this already. When I got out of the military in 2006, I had the opportunity to go live in Switzerland for a while. So I was over there for about 5 years with my wife. And something of interest is we actually started the business in Switzerland. It's also part of the reason why it was so hard at the beginning to come up with some funding, because we weren't in the U.S., and when you would visit a banker, the conversation was great until, you know, where are you living now? What are you doing? Oh, yeah, well, we're sort of in Switzerland, you know. So through it all, though, I would argue you know, I've always tried to impress upon bankers and other fellow farmers and what, that whatever you do, do it with all your heart, okay? And always try to remember that the whole of what you're working with is more than the sum of its individual parts. And I'm going to come back to that story I was talking about. So in 2005, okay, I was a convoy commander. I was a convoy commander in Iraq. And the gentleman that I took over from, his wife had left him while he was in Iraq, and he had a nervous breakdown. Anyway, I took over this mission, and for 4 months we were quite successful. We were getting ready to leave, and we were a National Guard unit, and the active duty soldiers came in, and I was outranked by a colonel who told me that, you know, I didn't need to train his people. Unfortunately, that gentleman lost 8 soldiers on the first day they took over my mission, and I wasn't there, but it was something that always... It still bothers me to this day. You know, what could I personally have done better? You know, even though I was outranked, what could I have done differently to make that guy understand? So I want to recap one example of what my soldiers did that made us successful, that we had no casualties. 2 months prior to this unit taking over, we started to have issues. We normally had some escorts from the active duty that would go with us with helicopters or tanks to make sure that we weren't getting shot up. And we would deliver aircraft parts to these guys. Well, unfortunately, they decided that they didn't need to do that anymore, and we started to take casualties. What we did was we put together an ice cream social for 2 big units on this base. We flew in, I believe it was 50 tubs, 5-gallon tubs of Baskin-Robbins ice cream from Germany, sprinkles, whipped cream, and whatnot. And we hosted an ice cream social for for these guys. And you'd be surprised that, you know, ice cream in July in the desert really does a lot for a soldier's morale. From that point on, we never had any more issues, you know. But unfortunately, 2 months later, as I described, the other units took over from us. You know, I don't want to dwell on my military background and whatnot. If you have specific questions, I'm willing to answer. But I still argue that the military has come from a very challenging environment from fighting these wars the past few years, and you know, agriculture itself is equally challenging. It's different challenges, but you still have to get up. You've got to do stuff every day. You've got to put one foot in front of the other and go do it, whether you see a reward today or 5 years from now. My argument would be that, you know, these veterans have served the America in general one time. You know, let's give them the opportunity to serve it again. The Farmer Veteran Coalition right now is working on drafting some policy changes related to how the GI Bill is worded to allow veterans to get into agriculture. We're working on internships. But I would say the largest thing that we do provide funding. We provide a lot of mentorship opportunities between the older generation that's leaving and the newer generation that's getting back in. Thank you for considering the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and help us out in the years ahead. Thank you.